And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. For this is indeed the day the Lord has made. We can be glad and rejoice in it. And it's a beautiful day here in Southeast Virginia. The sun is shining. Temperatures expect to go up to, low 80s. Just a beautiful day. I hope you're having some nice weather where you are. I think there's pretty much nice weather around the country right now, which is a good thing. But as I always say, folks, even when it's cloudy and it's raining and it's a dank-looking day, the sun is still shining. It's out. It's out. Once you get all of that mess out of the way, you can see it. So, you know, God always helps us to get the mess out of the way so we can see the sun shining. You know, the Word says the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I believe that. I believe that God just gets better and better in our lives. I mean, not that he gets better, but we just get better at receiving him and thanking him and praising him and acknowledging him. And that makes life sweeter and sweeter. Remember that old song, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before"? And I believe that. Well, what about problems? Well, problems come and go, but Jesus is here to stay. And our relationship with him will never, ever end. So we can rejoice and be glad. For great is our reward in heaven, and great is our reward right here on earth, by the way. And not just when we get to heaven, but it starts right in the here and now. You know, eternal life begins the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not something you're waiting to have start. It's something that already started. When you received Jesus, you stepped into the realm of eternal life. Now, you got to go through some changes and some things that you mortal has to put on immortality and corruptible has to put on incorruption and all of that. So this is the first phase of your eternal life. And there's going to be another phase coming in which you're going to get a brand new body and you're going to have a brand new a life in the kingdom of God, in the eternal, unchanging kingdom of God. So that's kind of the final phase. There's going to be a millennial kingdom, but I won't get into teaching all of that, but you understand. We've got plenty to look forward to. Oh, it is so good. It just puts a smile on your face. You know, the Word says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." And that's enough to make you smile real big. You know that God has got such wonderful things in store for you that you can't figure them out intellectually. They have to be revealed by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, well, look, we went from racial demagoguery, that the Georgia law is Jim Crow, and now we've got gun demagoguery. I don't know whether you got a chance to see it. You probably didn't even want to see it. I felt I had to see it so I could comment on it intelligently for you. Joe Biden came on. President Biden came on. Watch it. President Joe Biden came on, and he began to demagogue the gun issue. And, you know, he says the first responsibility of the president is to protect the people of the United States. Well, then my question would be, then why are you allowing people across the border who've tested positive for COVID? Why are you surrendering so much of our economy to communist China? If your job is to protect the American people, why are you interjecting into the military all this transgender craziness, as opposed to making sure that we have the most fit, most equipped, most well-armed and well-trained military in the history of the world? If your job is to protect the American people, I don't think he thinks that's his job. I think he thinks his job is to advance the far-left ideology that the Democrat Party has now embraced. I think he thinks his job is to advance the kind of godless culture that they want. And he's doing that, but as far as protecting us, you know, he's made several comments. Now, he's going to, there's some things he's going to do by executive order. I'll try to strengthen, you know, the red flag laws by executive order. I don't know what he can do with that. Those red flag laws are extremely dangerous, folks, extremely dangerous, because the conception is that anybody can go to the authorities and accuse you of being a danger to yourself and others, and without trial, without due process, and they can just come and take your guns away. And then the due process begins. First, they take your Second Amendment rights away, and then they begin due process to see whether that's going to be a permanent removal or a temporary one. That's a very dangerous situation, particularly in circumstances where the young, misguided, demonically possessed man who went in and killed those people in that church in Charleston, that he had been reported 3 months earlier as having some mental problems, of having some, I don't know exactly what was reported, but he was reported to the FBI 3 months before he committed the murders, and they did nothing. He applied for a gun and got it. And so you mean to tell me I'm supposed to entrust my Second Amendment rights to people who can't even affect and implement the present law properly in order to protect us? I don't think so. I don't think so. But Joe Biden says we can rest easy now because he is taking steps to keep us all safe. Yeah, I feel much, much safer, don't you? But in the process, and here's the thing I really want to get to, in the process, he just flat out lied. You know, just like he lied about Georgia's Jim Crow laws. This is Jim Crow on steroids. I mean, that is a flat out, blatant, bold, bodacious lie. Well, he did the same thing here. He said, first of all, the Charleston loophole was what allowed this young man to get a weapon. That is not true. There is a loophole in the background check, and if you want to call it a loophole, I don't call it a loophole. I call it a protection of our Second Amendment rights. And what it says is, if you can't do a background check in 3 days, then that licensed federal firearm dealer may sell the weapon. Because remember, we're dealing with Second Amendment rights. We're dealing with constitutional rights. And what you don't want is people playing games and being able to deny people their constitutional rights by simply delaying. I mean, it's perfectly reasonable. And we have pretty much instantaneous background checks. I've never purchased a firearm in which I didn't have the background check done within a matter of 30 minutes, an hour. I think one time I can recall, I didn't have time to wait, and I said, I'll come back tomorrow. And when I came back the next day, it was all done. They said, yeah, it all came in within about an hour after I left. This is virtually instantaneous. So after 3 days of delaying, they say, look, we're going to presume that the person is entitled to be sold the firearm. Now, it doesn't require the license owner, the federal firearm licensee, to sell the firearm. If they think there's something strange about the person, or they think there's something odd about the person, or they've heard the person say something that they think means he may be a potential danger to himself or to others, or to herself or to others, that person can say, look, the background check has not come in. I can't sell it to you. The licensed firearm dealer has a right to do that. But federal law can't stop the person from getting a firearm by ordering. So no, you can just delay and delay and delay and delay, and thereby you can deny people their Second Amendment rights. It's a perfectly reasonable restriction on the power of the government, not a loophole. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Michael Schellenberger has been working in the environmental arena for decades, but he began to become more concerned when he was hearing claims that billions of people are going to die unless we implement radical, draconian environmental policies. Early on in his book, he explains why he decided to part company with some of the environmentalists and set the record straight. He said, "Much of what people are being told about the environment, including the climate, is wrong, and we desperately need to get it right. I decided to write Apocalypse Never after getting fed up with the exaggeration, alarmism, and extremism that are the enemies of positive, humanistic, and rational environmentalism." He explains that carbon emissions peaked and have actually been declining in most developed countries. Deaths from extreme weather, even in poor countries, have been declining significantly, and while he admits that climate change may have contributed to the fires in California and elsewhere, it is not the cause of them. His concern is that this singular emphasis on climate change has distracted us from more pressing environmental issues. Extreme poverty, underdevelopment, and land use are just a few of the many concerns often ignored when we focus all of our attention on climate change. He also admitted that he began as an anti-nuclear activist. Now he has changed his mind. He talks about the war on nuclear and explains how nuclear energy provides a significant amount of power without adding carbon dioxide to the environment. He concludes by acknowledging that climate change is real and that it's not the end of the world. Pundits and politicians who are scaring people about climate change need to read his book. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope?
I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Do you feel that changes in life are hard to accept?
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Change is often unsettling. It can lead to a loss of hope and insecurity. A fact of life is the only thing that's certain is change. The prophet Isaiah said, "The former things I declared of old, and suddenly I did them, and they came to pass." In the margin of my Bible, I have six specific dates noted next to this verse. These were times when God was preparing me for major changes in my life. Jesus prepares us and doesn't leave us alone in the change process. Hope comes from trusting Jesus in the midst of huge change.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. The Minneapolis police chief makes a stunning admission in court. We'll have tape of racist whites condescending to black voters. Are Americans getting more concerned or less concerned about catching COVID? Disturbing accounts of sexual abuse in Biden's border facilities for minors. And guess who's going to open up his state on June 15? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So, President Biden told a number of lies during his little peroration for gun control and why we've got to do this. We've got to save lives. And, of course, he wants, ultimately, legislation that bans the sale of, quote, assault weapons. And, of course, every time I hear that and say that, it is tongue-in-cheek because, folks, any weapon, I don't care what it is an assault weapon by definition. You call it a weapon, what's it for? It's for assault. But this is just a psychological game they play to convince people that if a weapon looks a certain way, it was made for war, and therefore it's an assault weapon, which is just silliness. It's typical liberal feelings policy. This is how I feel about it. But an AR-15 is just a semi-automatic rifle. That's all it is. And whatever the little accoutrements around it and the style around it, that's That's all that is. It's just style. It has, I mean, you can take any semi-automatic weapon if you know what you're doing. My understanding is you can turn it into an automatic weapon. It's not legal for it to be automatic, but you can do that. But that has nothing to do with the fact that it's a semi-automatic weapon. That has to do with the person who's messing around with it. But Joe Biden described assault weapons. He said, nobody needs a weapon with 100 bullets. A magazine that holds 100 bullets, folks. I look, I'm not questioning. I'm not a gun expert, and I'm not pretending to be one. I am a gun owner, and I do own some semi-automatic firearms. And I've never seen a magazine that holds 100 rounds. I mean, I've never seen that. I've never seen it anywhere. I've never seen it at a gun show. I've never seen it at a gun store. I've never seen it advertised in a magazine. But he's, nobody needs a weapon that holds 100 rounds. I'm thinking, what is he talking about? So as far as I'm concerned, that's another lie. I mean, a standard magazine for an AR-15 will hold 30 rounds, okay? And maybe you can buy something that will hold more. I don't doubt that, but I've never seen it. I've never had it offered to me. I've never had anybody say, hey, look, here's it. I don't even know that the thing would sustain that. I don't even know that it could handle that because, of course, magazines and rounds carry weight. I don't know that it wouldn't in some way affect the performance of the firearm itself. But leaving that aside, this is the kind of hyperbole and exaggeration you get from these folks. The other thing he mentioned was ghost guns. You know, ghost guns. Ghost guns can be assembled in 30 minutes. Well, I did some research on ghost guns because, here again, I don't own any ghost guns. I'm not one of these people who would enjoy building a gun, although I know people who do and like it and enjoy it. And it's, here again, it's relaxing for them. They enjoy messing around with them and putting pistols together and all of that. But the ghost gun, apparently the parts are not serialized. And so you can buy the parts and put them together, and therefore you then have an unregistered gun. And he said, you can do that in 30 minutes. Well, I looked it up. Look, you cannot assemble one of these firearms in 30 minutes, number one. It takes hours of work to do it. Number two, I read an article about a guy who's not a gun enthusiast and doesn't have extensive experience with weapons, and he bought a ghost gun. He had to buy what they call the ghost gunner, a 1,500 computer numerically controlled CNC mill in order to build it. He had to invest $1,500 in a tool. Now, how many criminals do you think are out there investing $1,500 in a tool so they can build an unregistered gun? Well, I tell you what, the ones who can, changing the ghost gun rules is certainly not going to affect them. If they can invest that kind of money in a tool to make ghost guns, I guarantee you, they can buy all the guns they want on the black market. And here's the third lie. What was that, two? Well, three, really. Here's the fourth lie, then. You can go to a gun show and buy guns without a background check. Well, not really. Not really. You can enter into a private transaction at a gun show, but guess what? You can do that anywhere without a background check. If my neighbor has a gun and says, hey, I got this gun, but I want to get rid of it. Do you like it? Do you want it? And I say, yeah, man, I'll take it. I like that. He doesn't have to do a background check on me. And he shouldn't have to. In my view, he shouldn't have to. But you go to a gun show and you buy a gun from a licensed firearm dealer, and most of the people who are selling guns en masse are licensed firearm dealers. And guess what? They've got to do a background check just like you do in a store. And there are many states that require that at gun shows anyway. But if you're a licensed firearm dealer, you don't get an exception because you're at a gun show. So this idea that gun shows, you can go to a gun show, you don't have to have a background check. So that's a way of around. It's not. It's not. Unless you're dealing with a private individual, and a private individual cannot have a gun store, A private individual cannot go in there and assemble 40, 50 guns to sell to people. You cannot do that. But you might meet a friend or meet a guy at the gun show, and he says, yeah, I was kind of hoping I could unload this thing while I'm here. And you look at it and say, wow, that's a nice gun. Yeah, I'd like to take that. Two private individuals. That's their big loophole. It's just, it's straight demagoguery. And he began by saying, and anybody who tells you that this is going to affect the Second Amendment is making a false argument. Let me make something clear, and this is not a false argument. They don't want the Second Amendment to exist. They don't want it to exist. They don't like it. In fact, they hate it. But they know that they can't overturn it. They can't repeal it. They don't have the political strength to do that. They don't have the political power to do that. So what they want to do is chip away at the Second Amendment and make it virtually untenable for anybody to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And by the way, that's what stripping gun manufacturers of their liability shield is all about. Notice they don't want to do this for big tech, which is trampling on our First Amendment rights, but they want to do it for gun manufacturers. And think of how absurd this is. We've seen people commit murder with vehicles, haven't we? We've seen it. That's like saying you should be able to sue the automobile manufacturer because a person went out and murdered somebody with the car. All the automobile manufacturer did was made the vehicle. Say, well, yeah, but it's not made to be a weapon. Well, what difference does that make? You don't have to use it against a person. But it can become a weapon. That's the most important thing. And look, a gun can be a weapon against another human being, but that's not what it has to be used for. It can be used for target shooting. It can be used for competitive shooting. It can be used for hunting. But you want to make the manufacturer liable because some nutcase gets a hold of a gun and goes out and hurts people. And the manufacturer is supposed to be responsible for that. So then why wouldn't the automobile manufacturer be responsible if some nutcase goes out and takes a car and starts mowing people down with it? Here's what they're after, folks. Here's what they're after. They want to shut the gun manufacturers down. Now, I haven't had a chance to do the research on this, but how many gun sales do you think happen in a place where guns are completely banned? If gun manufacturers had to deal with a situation in which anything and everything that happens becomes a lawsuit by the city where it happens, a lawsuit by the town where it happens, a lawsuit by the people to whom it happens, they would soon find themselves out of business. They'd be sued out of business, or their ability to manufacture and meet the market demand would be severely curtailed because of all the expense that they would have to confront. And if they had to, they would raise the prices on firearms to a prohibitive level in order to try to pay for the increased legal liability. Here again, making it that much more difficult for people to buy firearms. Yeah, what the left is really after is destroying the Second Amendment. That's what they really want. And all the stuff that they bring up is just window dressing. And if you really care about the American people, you really want to protect the American people, why are you allowing human traffickers, drug traffickers, MS-13, murderers to come across our border willy-nilly? Why do you support no parole policies where no matter how heinous the crime, the person is let out immediately to go back on the street? Why do you support these prosecutors who are bought and paid for by George Soros, who try to figure out ways to get criminals back on the street? If you really care about the American people, why don't you tackle that? He talked about the number of black young men who die as a result of gun violence. Why don't you start talking about rebuilding the black family? Because there is the root cause of the problem. Young men being matriculated and enculturated into gang and street lifestyle instead of being taught like I was growing up, Study, get an education, work, take responsibility for yourself, and don't hurt other people. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Certainly one of the most widely read writers in the world is newspaper columnist Ann Landers. The popularity of her column is due in no small part to the fact that it deals with the actual life situations of people. In one of her columns, Ann Landers tells a very moving experience. A young mother of three children wrote Ann that a recently married couple had moved next door to them. Wanting to be neighborly, the young mother began sharing much of her baked goods with a newly married couple. One day, when she carried a few slices of a freshly baked orange sunshine cake to the couple, the bride handed her an envelope which was sealed and asked the mother of three not to open it until she got home. Back home, the envelope was opened and the contents were a heartwarming surprise. "Do you know what was in that envelope?" the lady asked Ann Landers. 40 slips of paper, and on each was written, "This entitles you to one night out. I will be your babysitter." The young bride, working to help put her husband through law school, found an excellent method of expressing her appreciation for all that her neighbor had done for her. All of us, no matter how poor or handicapped, have something to give. Each has a talent through which we can show appreciation and make the world a little brighter. The carpenter taught that just a cup of cold water given in his name would go a long way in making the world a better place to live in. Do you remember the child story we all heard when we were growing up? The little boy was passing through the jungle when he heard an awful groan. On inspection, he discovered that it came from a lion that had a thorn in its paw. The little lad was afraid of the lion and didn't know what to do. He hated to see the lion suffer, but he knew that lions ate people. Finally, the little boy went over and pulled out the thorn from the lion's paw. Quickly, the little boy scooted along his way. Years later, as a grown man, he found himself cast into the lion's den because of evil men. However, the lion that was supposed to attack him came and licked his face. You see, it was the same lion from which the man had pulled a thorn from its paw years before. Regardless of how it may seem, little kind deeds are not forgotten. They make a very definite and a very favorable impression on those they're done to. And certainly they help even those who do them. If you doubt it, ask the lady who received the 40 babysitting tickets. Or if you can be a child for a moment, you can even ask the little boy who pulled the thorn from the lion's paw. A little kindness given is a little kindness received.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. My producer just sent me some pictures and talked to me about 100-round drums. Yes, they do exist. Yes, they do work. I don't have one, and I've never seen one. I consider myself to be an intermediate gun owner, and I'm not, I'm not a gun expert. I guess he is an enthusiast, and he sent me pictures of them, so they do exist. But that's not what most people own. I don't own one. But even so, it's not the magazine. It's not the gun that does any harm anyway. It is the human being with their hands on the instrument that they turn toward destructive purposes. So it doesn't make any difference. But here again, the image that Biden was trying to conjure up is a bunch of us running around with AR-15s pointed at everybody with 100-round drums. And he kept saying, "You don't need that. You don't need that. Who needs that? Nobody needs that." Well, it's not a matter of need. It's a matter of want, and it's a matter of having the constitutional right to possess it. So it doesn't matter whether he doesn't need it or want it. So what? That's him. But we, as American citizens, have our fundamental, God-given right to bear arms secured by the Constitution of the United States. In fact, I know I've never seen this. The next time I'm at a gun store, I'm going to ask if they have any because I want to see. But a 100-round magazine for a 9mm, that's exciting. Only because if I go out target shooting, that means I have to reload less so I can keep shooting. And it's a lot of fun. So, but here again, folks, and I hope that you receive this in the way I mean it. But I think this is the absolute truth. We have got a full-blown demagogue in the White House now. In fact, for demagoguery, I think he's worse than Barack Obama was. Because Barack Obama was too cool for school, you know, and he was always trying to speak, to present himself as Mr. Cool. Joe Biden, with this sort of grandpa seriousness that he puts forth, and when he's telling absolute lies, bold-faced lies, and it's rank demagoguery. I want to come to your calls here in just a second. Let me throw a couple of other things up for you. We have heard almost no news about this, but the guy who's responsible for killing that Capitol police officer by ramming him with his automobile, that guy is a devotee of the Nation of Islam, which is a virulently racist and anti-Semitic organization, and you've heard virtually nothing about it. Because, see, since it wasn't a quote-unquote white man, then we need pay no attention. It doesn't fit the narrative. This guy posted, I think this was on Twitter. He says, I encourage everyone to study Revelation, study the signs, study who the beast is. The minister, meaning Farrakhan, is here to save me and the rest of humanity. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his teacher, is alive and in power. I can't leave this out. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his teacher, the exalted Christ, the devil is a liar, is alive and in power. Study the minister, watch his lecture, study Elijah Muhammad, study the mother wheel. I don't know what in the world he's talking about, which is present here in America. I bear witness again. We have little time. Noah X, Noah Green, is the guy who went out, you know, went to the Capitol to kill people. But he's a follower of the Nation of Islam, and you don't hear much about that because that doesn't fit the narrative, right? Because the real danger are white supremacist extremists in our country, which is really, from the left's point of view, all Americans of European ancestry, all of them. Now, we're a little old follower of Louis Farrakhan. Well, he's just, he's a one-off. And Farrakhan has been spewing hatred and anti-Semitism and virulent, sick, cultic nonsense for 40 years, 50 years probably, and the left, if some of these Hollywood types, even praise him for it. So I just thought you might not have heard that, and people aren't talking about that. The mainstream media doesn't even want to cover that. And here's the last thing I'll just put on the table. Bill Gates, George Soros, have gotten together to form an organization for the purpose of policing disinformation in America. Yep. George Soros, Bill Gates have partnered together. They're pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into an organization that has the mission of dealing with disinformation in America. Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart? Doesn't that just make you feel all better inside? It's going to be called the Commission. I think it's the Aspen Institute Commission on Information. Yeah, the Aspen Institute Commission on Information sounds so official, doesn't it? Boy, I mean, aren't we blessed to have people like that looking out for disinformation? Well, since they formed this stupid thing, what they could go right to the White House and talk to President Joe Biden about all of the disinformation that he himself is putting out. But I guarantee you they won't. No, they're only going to look to you and me and people like us because they don't like our point of view. All right, let's come to your calls. Before we have to take a break, let's go to Billy in Texas. Billy, welcome.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm blessed. Billy, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's so beautiful here in Texas right now.
Hey, man.
I told the gentleman that answered the phone that over the weekend we had our Easter celebration and at my dad's house, and he had the newspaper there, and this is Sherman, Texas. They call it the weekend edition. We don't get a Sunday paper anymore. But it had a photo on it that I haven't heard anybody on the radio mention. That doesn't mean that it hasn't been mentioned. It's got a picture of Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and I told the fellow, I think it's the governor of Rhode Island, and they were fixing to board a y'all's travel up there in the, whatever it is, subway, fixing to board a subway train, and none of them had a mask on.
Uh-huh.
Have y'all not seen the picture?
I heard about that one. But listen, Billy, thank you so much for the call. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds, okay? There's no consistency, let's face it. Thanks for the call, Billy. Let's go to Bruce in Oklahoma. Bruce, welcome.
Good afternoon, Bishop Jackson. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to talk to you today.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the Second Amendment was written by our founding fathers, and at the time they wrote it, they didn't have any more firepower than the people that were civilians. And so it seemed to me there was a reason for that. And my next comment is that the Second Amendment was put in place to protect Americans from a tyrannical government, similar to the one that we're looking at today. And it's unfortunate that they are using the firearms to stoke division against the individuals in the United States today.
Yeah, Bruce, unfortunately, that's exactly what they're doing. Once again, I said it's just demagoguery. That's all it is. These people are really, this is an administration of demagogues now. And you're absolutely right. You know, most people who know realize that the founding fathers had a major fear, and the fear was of a standing army. And it took them a long time to get over that and realize we were going to need to have a standing army and how to manage that, how to make sure it was under civilian control. But they had a very deep fear because they had experienced what Great Britain did with their army and how it abused the people and took over their homes and all of that. And I really believe that the Second Amendment, contrary to what these leftists like to try to convince us of, that the Second Amendment was a stopgap. It was intended to say, the American people are going to be armed to defend themselves. The American people are going to be capable of defending their own lives, even if they are defending themselves against governmental authority. And so I think you're absolutely right. Now, folks, I'm not calling for that. I'm not calling for violence against the government or the overthrow of the government, anything like that. I'm just saying the founding fathers had a deep fear of standing armies, and they wanted the American people to be in a position to defend themselves. Back in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here's another of our core values. AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thank you for standing with us, and we thank you for your support. In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
I loved it. I loved how biblically sound it was, all the scripture to back it up.
The testimonies were very powerful. if it's a prodigal child that has just run away, or one that's caught up in same-sex attraction, there's hope in Jesus.
In His Image is now available on DVD and can be purchased in bulk to pass out to friends and family. Order today by visiting afastore.net.
Hey, I'm Brant, and as you know, one of the worst things you can say in any business, or in life for that matter, is, but we've never done it that way before. That approach stops us from making decisions that could have been great. We just keep doing the same thing, even if we're not happy with it, even while we're complaining about it, we just keep doing it. What if there's a better way? This is why considering MediShare for your healthcare bills is such a great idea. It works. It's less expensive. It's convenient. It's a better way for so many people to pay for their healthcare. And thinking, but we've never done it that way before, is a great way to miss out on major savings. The typical family saves $500 a month, and you miss out on the huge network of doctors, the free telehealth services, the great customer service, and being a part of something that matters, with more than 400,000 members sharing each other's healthcare bills. So you've never done it this way before? No problem. Just call. You can start saving right now. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
When people remarry and form a new step family, they may experience some unexpected challenges. And Ron Deal explains one of those on Focus on the Family Minute.
Their expectation is that because you and I love each other, parenting thing's just going to work out just fine. We'll figure that out as we go. And my message to people is, whoa, you got to understand, this should be so big that it determines whether or not you get married. If you can't see eye to eye on the parenting things, raising the kids, then you really need to rethink the timing of a marriage or a decision to even get married. It's really important.
Remarriage and stepfamily life require careful navigation and preparation. Successful couples seek help from marriage experts and pray. Focus on the Family can be a resource as well. Learn more at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. 888-589-8840 is the number. You know, my producer Randy's got me all excited about getting a 100-round drum. Now, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to go out and see if I can find one. You know, and President, you don't need that. You don't need that. Nobody needs that. Well, it's not a matter of needing it. It's a matter of wanting it. Oh boy, you know that'll. Let's see. I think the largest magazine I've got right now holds 18 rounds. So that means I've got to reload 5 times in order to have the ability to keep firing that 100-round magazine. So I'll take it. Thanks very much. 888-589-8840. I'm not going to be demagogued out of my Second Amendment liberty. Let's go to Daniel in Minnesota. Daniel, welcome.
Hi.
Hey,
I'm so honored. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Daniel.
I read a book a long time ago, and the guy was a Christian, and he was a serviceman. And I'm sorry for my emotion.
That's okay, Daniel. That's okay.
He wrote a book called, it's by William Guy Carr. William Guy Carr. And he talked about, he was in the Navy, and he was fighting all these communists, and he was talking about how evil they were. Mm-hmm. You know, and he had all the information. You know, he just put it right out there. You know? And I read that book 5 times.
Wow.
5 times.
Wow.
And
Daniel,
what's going on right now? He talked about the Bolshevik Revolution and how the Bolsheviks got, you know, into Russia and killed all these people, and how they did it and what they did. I had to read it over and over and over again.
Daniel, tell us the name of this book again. Yeah. What's the name of it again?
What I read is what's going on now.
Right. Daniel, what's the name of the book?
It's William Guy Carr. It's called Pawns in the Game.
Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. Hey, Daniel, listen, thank you for the call, and I don't blame you for being emotional. I mean, you know, we try to keep a joyful note. We want to be happy warriors, so to speak. But look, this stuff that's happening to our country can be heartbreaking. There's no question about that. It really can be. And that's why we have to stand up and step up and speak up. So thank you, Daniel. I'm going to check out the book, Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Barb in Nebraska.
Yep.
There you go. Barb. Hey, Barb.
Hi.
I can hear Barb. Is your radio on?
No.
Okay.
I've got my phone and it's there. Just a minute. Let me try and turn that off. Hold on.
Okay. That sounds a little better. I'm not hearing myself in the background now. So, Barb, what's on your mind today? Okay. Barb stepped away to go to her phone.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Barb. What's on your mind today?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that mess.
That's okay.
Anyway, I was thinking that since President Biden, it hurts me to say that, President Biden is such a liar about so much. If he's insistent that we don't need 100 rounds, maybe that means we do.
Okay. Right. In other words, do the opposite. Whatever he says you don't need, you probably need. Okay. Okay. Well, listen, Barb, I didn't hear exactly what you're saying because it is difficult to trust anything that comes out of his mouth, frankly, and President Trump was often accused of saying things that people found objectionable. But I tell you what I found. I found that President Trump was always aiming at one thing, the truth, no matter how it hit, no matter who it hurt, no matter who liked it, but the truth. And what we've got now is just the opposite. And of course, but thank you for the call, Barb. Of course, we're not implying, folks, we're not implying the 100-round drum to use against the president or anyone else. Let's be clear about that, okay? Barb didn't imply that at all. But I like to make those little disclaimers because, it's important that we be morally right and legally right, okay? We love everybody, and we pray for everybody, and we want everybody to get it right. It's just that we do have sometimes leaders who need to be voted out of office and run out of town on a rail, so to speak. And I think, in my humble opinion, he's one of those. But you know what? Running out of town on a rail, I'd be praying for him the whole time. Lord, save him. And Lord, help him. Lord, show him mercy. Have mercy on him. Let him be saved. Let him come to know you in a very real way. And I know, folks, you may think, well, why are you going through all that? Because, folks, There are enemies out there of this network, of this program, of me, and I want to always be clear with everybody on where we stand on the issues, but that we are not violent. We love people. We care about people. We want them all to be well, to do well, and we don't hate them. We only hate what they're doing to our country, and we want to use the political mechanisms at our disposal, our freedom of speech, our constitutional liberties, to stop them, not violence. All right. Let's go to Ken in Maryland. Ken, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Bishop. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Hey, I really like what you said at the very beginning of the show before I get into my point about the day we accept Jesus Christ, we step into eternity with him. That was awesome. It begins then. We don't wait for it. Way to go. Hey,
all right,
about the Second Amendment. So I wanted to comment about the H.R. 127, the House, the bill in the House that they're considering. that bill includes so many restrictions on our Second Amendment rights, and just a couple of them real quick. Okay. One, not only does it require a more extensive background check, it requires a psychological test. It also allows for people who know you to make comments about your mm-hmm. psychological state.
Mm-hmm.
It imposes fines if you don't register guns that you bought before the bill went into effect, if it ever does go into effect. It has huge jail sentences for people that don't comply. And if you read it carefully, I think you will notice that the decision as to whether or not your application to buy a firearm will be accepted boils down to the Attorney General's decision. There's no clear-cut checklist. You do this, this, and this, and you get your permit to buy a gun. It all comes yeah. down to whether the Attorney General of the United States will accept your application, and he could reject every application without even a reason. It's a terrible bill. Yeah. It not only will it infringe on our Second Amendment rights, but it will pretty much prevent people from owning firearms in this country.
It will do what exactly I said they want to do. They want to basically gut the Second Amendment so that it's in effect a dead letter. And what you just told us about H.R. 127, that's exactly what it does. Ken, thanks so much for the call. Got to get some other callers in here. We're almost to the end of the program. Let's go to Dennis in Ohio. Dennis, welcome.
God bless you, Bishop.
Thank you, sir.
What I was calling about was, in the story of Esther, the kingdom, the people were disarmed, and the only way they were kept from being wiped off the planet was Esther pleaded for the right for them to have the Second Amendment.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Dennis. That's pretty good. I think in substance, although we know they weren't using firearms, but in substance, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And look, we know that at the outside chance that we were to degenerate into tyranny, Americans do have a right to defend themselves. That's not where we are. We are in a pitched political battle in this country, but we are not at the point where we can say, okay, our country now is no longer a constitutional republic because people have taken over that have turned the country communist. I trusted that. In fact, I know that's not going to happen because God's going to give us an awakening. Thank you for the call, Ken. Let's see if we can get Mike in here from Missouri before we have to go. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, Semper Fi, brother. Hey, I am a former
Semper Fi back at you. Great.
And, I agree with you, everything you said about Joe Biden. The problem with it is it's quite obvious the man has dementia, you know. He wasn't too bright before he got dementia, but he's pretty much just a Trojan horse. He just says he just repeats whatever Kamala Harris or Stacey Abrams says, you know. He sounds like a broken record, a recording of them. They tell the guy what they want done, and that's why he gets up there and pitches, you know. It's just pathetic, but that's what's going on.
It certainly does seem that way. I think, Mike, it does appear to be that way. I think Barack Obama's in there. They say he talks to Barack Obama pretty much every day. Yep. So I think all of them are in there pulling the puppet strings, and President Joe Biden is the puppet master. They're the puppet masters. He's the puppet. But look, he seems to like being the puppet. I think he gets a certain sick satisfaction out of that because he always positioned himself as a moderate. But we're seeing there's nothing moderate at all about him. I mean, that's a joke. All right, folks. Well, listen, this has been a great conversation. I'm glad we can have a conversation about something like the Second Amendment and do it in a way that is civil and that respects the rule of law, because our country is going to be fine. We just have to keep standing up and not backing down under any circumstances whatsoever. And we'll solve this peaceably because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.